Never fear, I'm prepared. Have extras. Let me do this again. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. A couple announcements here as we begin. If you have your bulletins, just a couple things I'll lift up to you. It's a first Sunday of Advent, so we have a lot happening, and Christmas is here. It's coming, and so first of all, just notice the flyer that, or the insert that's there in your bulletin. Reminder again about the Christmas movie. That is going to be for the children, the youth, on December 17th. Really, all ages of youth can come. We just ask that the younger ones, smaller children, will need to have a chaperone, or at least talk to, if you're in this church, talk to some of the youth leaders to make sure if someone is there and if you're not able to stay, and make sure that that's arranged before you drop them off. The movie is a tale of faith and friendship, and there's lots of free there, so I hope that the kids can come, and they'll be gathering together with the kids from other churches, and it's just going to be a good day of fun and activity there for the children of our community. So, and spread the word. Other people can come as well. What a great way to, and kids, maybe you're hearing this, maybe it's a great way to invite your friends to be a part of a church activity, and that might get them coming. So invite your friends and let them come along and be a part of that. Okay, also just note that the children also are to be taking part in the Christmas parade in Bridgewater, December 10th. I hope that that you come and watch and cheer on the Moscow youth as they're preparing already, and they've been preparing for the decorations of the float, and they're looking forward to that. Also, next Sunday, just note, it's going to be a special Sunday here in that we're going to be giving a gift to the children, a special ornament that was made by Garnet Good, which is the brother-in-law of Janet Good. And so the children will receive a special ornament they can put there at their house or on their tree or whatever they would like. The title is From the Cradle to the Cross. And the children, there will be no children's church next Sunday because the message will be for both children and adults alike. And it'll be built around From the Cradle to the Cross. So I hope that you come again, be a part of that special service for that program.
Yeah.
Yes. The play. Yeah, the children are working on a Christmas play as well. Because there's no children's church next Sunday, I kind of ruined that opportunity for them to be working on the play. They want to stay a little bit after church and work on the play some with the children. So if you're able to do that, that's good. The choir will probably be working on some things as well. So maybe some mom and dad will already be here for choir practice, and that will work out good. So appreciate you sharing that. Okay, just take note of all the other things there, especially one in particular, December 11th, called CBM. Again, that will be to approve the 2023 called slate for church leadership. It's just a short meeting after church, and all members, I encourage you to stay and be a part of that so that we can take a vote and get that taken care of. Also, just a reminder as well, the Sunshine Box for Joyce Clatterball is still being put together in the kitchen. Just make sure that you get those items there. I think till the end of the month they're collecting items for that. Any other announcements you'd like to share at this time, Megan?
I just want to point out the choir meeting today.
Yes.
Just to stay a little bit so we can discuss how
they have. Yep. Yeah. Right. The choir will be meeting to work on their arrangements of what they'll be picking for the Christmas program, and Janet will be helping with that, leading us in that, so we appreciate her, and yeah, I hope that we have a good group that stays and works on that. Janet?
Yes, I would like to remind everyone about the Sunshine Box.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were just so faithful, like that. We don't have too many things yet, so two more Sundays, so we really would like you to share something in that little box.
Yeah.
I know we did this for Jean Armstrong, and she appreciated it. So.
She sure did. Thank you, Janet, again, for reminding us of that. And I hope that you get a chance to pick some things up to just cheer her up, Joyce up. And I know that she will really appreciate the thoughts coming from the church. Kenny?
With the Christmas parade on December the 10th, we asked that the youth group be there around 11:30.
Okay.
Start decorating the floats and the vehicles. Lunch will be provided for the kids at that point. So we asked that they get there about 11:15, 11:30. We'll get started and have lunch, and we'll be ready to go at 2 o'clock.
Where will they meet at, Kenny?
We're meeting at the picnic shelter at Oakland Park.
Okay, Oakdale. Is it Oakdale? Is it Oakdale? Yeah. Oakdale Park.
Yeah, right there in the
mall. Okay.
So we'll be meeting there, and we'll have lunch for the kids, so that's all squared away.
Okay. Thank you, Kenny. If you have more questions about that, Kenny or Deborah or some of the others from the Children's Church can answer questions and make sure that you're up to date on what's going on. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day, this season of Advent, Lord, in which we move into first Sunday here today, Lord. And we just pray that our hearts are prepared for this season of Advent, Lord, again, that we just find opportunity, new opportunity to come before you with just thanksgiving and praise for the gift of your Son Jesus that we received at Christmas. Lord, we just praise his name here this morning. All that we do is to glorify him. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. I'm going to call now on the Bowman family to come forward with our first Advent reading of Christmas. Kevin, Tessa, Connor, and Faith, and they will be leading us in the lighting of the Advent candle.
We live in a day where people are searching for hope in their lives. Some turn to money, think possessions will have like having the right house, right car, right clothes, or a large bank account will give them hope, peace, and stability they are seeking. Some turn to politicians with their promises of hope in a better life, only to be later disappointed in the outcome. While others seek relationships or drugs to fulfill the void that God's hope offers, what they don't realize is hope is here. Our hope came wrapped in swaddling clothes and was placed in a manger that very first Christmas. The Christmas story is more than just a story about the birth of a child into our world, but about the birth of the world Savior, the birth of a hope entering our world that long-awaited night so many thousands of years ago. What was God's gift to us that very first Christmas? The gift of his precious Son, our Redeemer, our Savior, our hope for a better tomorrow. God gave us the hopeless world the gift of a hope the first Christmas, and he continues to every year after. Join me this Christmas season to focus on the beautiful gift of hope that we thought the birth of Lord Jesus Christ. On this first Sunday of Advent, together with other believers around the world, we light the first Advent candle, the candle of hope. We light this candle as we prepare our hearts to receive God's light of hope. Let the light of this hope represent to each one of us, the true light of Christ, which shines into our darkness. We rejoice on this first Sunday of Advent as God's people and for the true message of hope, which we have received through your Son, Jesus.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you in hope. All creation is yearning to be free from bondage and decay. All people are pining for life and love. Lord, touch the desperate areas of our lives and give us things to hope for. Your Son came to show us that our hope is not in vain. We pray all this together in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bowman family. And Faith, I'm going to have to keep you in mind for other parts here at the church. She did a great job. All right, let us stand together now and turn in our hymnal on page 123. We're going to sing the first verse of O Come, Emmanuel. First verse. Page 123. Portions of John chapter 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing made that was made. And we beheld His glory. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let us turn our hymnals now to page 127. "Thou didst leave thy throne."
Thank you.
want to take just a couple minutes to gather our prayer requests and praises, if you have those. A few on my list that I want you to keep in mind, if you would. I don't know how many of you received this past week the prayer request for Brandy Nichols. Brandy, as you know, joined the church a little over a year ago now, and he was back in West Virginia doing some hunting when he got COVID, and unfortunately the COVID had him to have pneumonia, and he is on a respirator right now in a hospital there in West Virginia. And so the prayer was from the family, from his mother Brenda, for the church to be praying for him, that he was in critical shape. We've got word, and even Donald shared with me a little bit this morning that, and Pauline yesterday, that Brandy's doing a little bit better. And so praise the Lord that's answered prayers, I know, and that that he is breathing a little on his own, but he still has a respirator, I think, and a tube down his throat, I was told, and all that requires. So he's not out of the woods, and they're asking for your continued prayer for Brandy. Brandy's probably, what, maybe early 50s, young man, really. And this thing is hitting really hard. So if you would, just lift up Brandy, lift up his family, his mother, Brenda. She said that she was completely exhausted, I know, and just trying to travel back and forth and take care of things there. So just be in prayer for his mom and for Brandy as well. One thing I was told is that I had left a message for Brandy or for Brenda on her phone. And of course, just let her know that the church was praying, that we had sent the prayer request out. The church was praying for him. And she was able to play the message for Brandy as he's kind of in an unconscious state. And that she asked him if he heard it, and he squeezed her hand. So praise the Lord for that. We were just glad to hear that. And we know that Brandy will get through this. And we're just going to keep praying for him and for his recovery. So I'll try to keep you informed on his recovery. Also, if you would continue to, or would you put on your prayer list the Eva Hummel family, if you would. Eva was a friend of mine and grandmother of Tessa. And so we just want to lift the Eva Hummel family up. Eva passed away last week. We had her service at Branch on Saturday, and just a real celebration of life for Eva's life. And so just be in prayer, if you would, lift that Hummel family up and be in prayer for them. Yes, also want to continue to pray for Imogene. She is recovering. She's out of the hospital. Praise God for that. But she's in rehab, and she's still recovering. And so if you would just be in prayer that the medicines would keep working and that Imogene would rest up and get well soon. And we certainly want to continue to keep her in our prayers. Also, Shirley shared with me this morning that her great-grandkids, all three of them are sick. All three of her great-grandkids, Sadie, Eli, and Emily, are not feeling well. So if you would, just lift them up in prayer too. There's just so much sickness still going around. I know we just continue to pray for those suffering with flus and colds. I know some of you guys have had that as well and dealt with it. I think there's this old three-week cough that's going around. You just cough constantly for 3 weeks. I think that's what we should call it, the three-week cough. But yeah, so we just continue to lift those people up that are suffering with different sicknesses and illnesses. Any other prayer requests or praises, Kenny?
After last Sunday's performance by the kids, Jean got the video. And she sent me a text message, and she said she appreciated the video, the music. And then she told me, y'all need to be putting some emotional for me. She told me that she has a lot of miles and a lot of days.
Yeah.
Like, she's not giving up.
So Gina, get on us, won't she?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
I think that's just the praise that she's so uplifted and she says she has plenty of life left in her and not giving up.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for sharing that, Kenny. And we're glad that she continues to participate over the recordings, through the recordings there on the internet, and just connecting to the church. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah. You know, another praise I have is for the beautiful decorations. Have y'all noticed all the wonderful decorations we have here? And just special thanks to Michelle and her group. Special thanks to Greg. Greg made this beautiful manger scene that you see here. Now, he didn't do the ceramics, of course, but he did do all the woodwork, and we really appreciate him doing that. I told Michelle this morning I've always wanted a manger scene there, and boy, that is just beautiful, and so we appreciate that. And the star, of course, just draws your eye to it, so it just makes it feel more like Advent when the greenery is here in the sanctuary. And we appreciate all the work. Also, Alan Landis, where's he at? Alan and Lee, they worked so hard on that bulletin out there. Of course, they worked on this too, but special thanks to Alan and all the work he does on that. Yeah, like a... He gets his back into it, and he works to get it right and does a great job. And so hopefully you got a chance to see that too when you're coming in the bulletin board. We appreciate all the work that they're doing. So just wanted to say thank you to all those that have worked. And we're not done yet. There's still the finalizing of the greens that we'll do, and the children will take part in that here in just a little bit. After our morning tithes and offerings, we're going to have the kids come forward and to finalize the greens, and they'll take a special part in that as well. Okay, anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Nancy, that's one of my favorite songs, Christmas songs. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we offer up our prayers to you this morning, Lord, knowing that you hear our prayers and, Lord, you care for us. Lord, you know where we are in need. And, Lord, you always provide for us when we seek you. Lord, we just pray this morning for those upon our prayer list. Lord, you've heard the names mentioned, and Lord, you know the need. And Lord, we just pray that you answer those needs as your loving hand provides. Lord, that you lift those people up that are sick, Lord, and your hand of healing would be upon them. Lord, those that are grieving from loss in their family, Lord, I pray that your hand of comfort will be upon them. Lord, for us that are seeking you here this morning, Lord, in our hearts of worship, Lord, I pray your hand of faith would be upon us. Lord, we seek you in your goodness, especially in this time of Advent and Christmas. Lord, I just pray that our hearts are drawn to you. And Lord, that we grow and increase our faith during this time of and season of Advent together. Lord, bless the offering to, Lord, your glory. I just pray that you bless each giver. And Lord, we thank you that you continue to faithfully provide for the work and ministry that is you are doing here at Moscow. Lord, bless us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. This is always a fun thing to do at Christmas, as the finalizing of the green with the kids. I'm going to ask the Michelle and her group to come forward now as they're going to help the children and kind of putting the ornaments, finishing our tree. In the church, we call it a chrismon tree, not a Christmas tree, but a chrismon. And the reason we do that is because if you look, a lot of the ornaments on the tree are symbols of faith. You have the cross there, you have the crown, an angel, and a star. And maybe you have some of those things on your tree at home as well. But it's a chrismon tree, and it is to, again, remind us of what we receive at Christ, or at Christmas, which is the gift of Christ. We're going to, as they put the ornaments on, I'm going to invite the children to come forward. And I want you that are still seated to turn in your hymnal to page 136. And we're going to sing the first Noel while they finalize the greens. And we appreciate all the children are welcome to come forward. Anyone that wants to. I guess even if you're a child at heart, you can come forward and participate. But come forward and they will help. I want you to turn in your hymnal to 136. And we'll sing as they do this. The first Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds as fields as they lay in fields ere they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. There's still more ornaments, children. Hail Noel, Noel, Noel. Born is the King of Israel. Last verse. Then let us all with one accord sing praises to our heavenly Lord that hath made heaven and earth of night. And with his blood, mankind has. Thank you, children. Really appreciate all your help. And the tree looks so beautiful. We really appreciate that. It looks really nice. So you did a great job. Okay, our children's church now can be released. Our youth Sunday school. Nancy, thank you so much for playing that. Kind of sprung that on her last minute, and she was willing to do it. And so, praise the Lord. Thank you so much. In your Bible, if you're still here, turn with me to Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. Pretty important piece of scripture here. One probably you're very familiar with at Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Can you believe we're already back at Christmas? It just seems like the year has went by so quick. And here we are again. It's back at Christmas time again. And we're into the first Sunday of Advent. Again, we are preparing our hearts, even as we sang earlier, prepare our hearts, Lord Jesus. And we seek to prepare our hearts through this season of Advent for the celebration, again, and the celebration of Christ's birth. And it's something certainly we want to celebrate, we are thankful for, and that we should find joy in. Yeah, I think the challenge for us, you know, especially as feels like we just come from Christmas, is that Christmas can kind of begin to feel routine, can't it? Even Advent can feel a little bit scheduled or prepackaged. And I think it's our job as we prepare our hearts to, again, find ways to breathe new life into the Christmas story. These familiar stories, stories that we've heard even from our youth, stories that we are so familiar with, even scripture like this that we've maybe heard hundreds of times. But it's our job, isn't it, to prepare our hearts in a way that we can again worship God new and fresh, and that new life would be breathed into these scriptures, that our hearts wouldn't be stale. We don't want our hearts to get stale, do we? We don't want our worship to be stale. We want our hearts to radiate the joy of Advent that it should, and the joy of Christmas that it should. And that we have new eyes, new ears, even new voice in our celebration of Christ. Christmas is the celebration and worship of Christ. Make no mistake. Even the word Christmas itself is kind of two words shoved together, Christ and Mass. And that is the worship of Christ. And so that's what we do at Christmas. We worship Christ. And I pray that you find ways of doing that as you go about your busyness through the Christmas season, through Advent, all the busy things that you'll be involved in. I pray that you make sure that your heart is in worship to Christ. You know, there's a real push today to make Christmas less religious. Christmas is a time of worship of Christ. But there's a real push, isn't it, to make it less religious, to remove the religion part altogether, to make it more secular, and remove away the elements of worship and praise and celebration for Christ our Savior. Christmas, though, is the celebration and worship of Christ. You know, the secular world does this by putting more emphasis on presents, don't they, than on the present, which is Christ Jesus. They put more emphasis on the big red guy than the baby laying in a manger. Just little subtle things, isn't it? That there's more emphasis in these other areas than there is on Christ. But Christmas is and should always be a religious observance. Christmas is and should always be the celebration of Christ. Now we look at our scripture, and Isaiah penned this scripture some 700 years before Christmas, before there ever was a Christmas. Think of that, 700 years before Jesus was ever born, 700 years before the story of Mary the Virgin with this holy conception, this Christ child, 700 years before Joseph, 700 years before Elizabeth, before John the Baptizer being born, 700 years before angels up on high or shepherds watching their sheep, 700 years before wise men being following this star, 700 years before any of these events, this scripture was written. Isn't that amazing? Feels like it could be written after the fact, doesn't it? Because it certainly describes what Christmas is. 700 years before, God is already laying out for us in the scripture what we are to be celebrating at Christmas. What Christmas is, really the definition of what we would celebrate at Christmas. And we can look back to see what God is going to have us to celebrate as the believers today. And it's the celebration of Christ. So I want to look here, just kind of dig into this a little bit, of what the celebration of Christmas is about. And it lays it out for us. First of all, notice there, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Certainly Christmas is the celebration of the receiving of Christ, isn't it? We receive Christ at Christmas. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son has been given. Imagine looking at this prophecy 700 years before you knew any of the story. It'd be kind of difficult to figure out exactly what is God doing here. What is He saying that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given? I think that would be quite a mystery to try to figure out what does that mean? You know, what does it mean that God is going to give us a child or that a son is given? Of course, for us, after the fact, knowing the story, it's easy to know, well, God gave us His own Son, didn't He? He was born in a manger, God incarnate, came down, dwelt in flesh. It all seems so simple to us, doesn't it? But, of course, you've got to remember, this was written 700 years before the fact. It would probably be a great mystery to the people. They knew something good was happening. They didn't know exactly what or how. But, of course, we have the benefit of knowing that what this scripture is referring to was the birth of Christ, the story of Christmas. And we celebrate then this child which was given to us, Christ, babe laying in a manger. What a miracle it was. You know, as what it says in John chapter 1 there, and the Word became flesh, and He dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christmas is the celebration of the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. For unto us a child is born. That child is Christ. Unto us the Son of God, has been given. It's the celebration of the receiving of Christ. Notice there of the good things that would come because of that. It says, and the government, verse 6, will be upon His shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God. These are all the celebrations of Christmas. The goodness of God which we receive in Christ and have received. He's Wonderful. He's our Counselor. He's our Mighty God. Christmas is the rejoicing of the goodness of God which we have received. You know, how many people will go through Christmas this season, this Advent, without giving thought to the birth of Christ or God? No worship of that at all. I believe probably millions, maybe hundreds of millions, will go through the Christmas season without having any thought about what they received at Christmas, about Christ. What a tragedy that is, that so many people will celebrate Christmas without Christ. I started to think about all the Christmas movies that I like. Maybe something you do during Christmas time is to grab a blanket and cuddle up on the couch and watch some old Christmas movies. And I do that. I like the old Christmas movies. I have some favorites. But, you know, I thought about a lot of the Christmas movies that I like. None of them have anything to do with Christ. I like that Home Alone. Maybe you like that one. The little boy that's protecting his house from all those robbers. And that is a funny one. And is it moral? There's some good moral teachings in it, aren't there? You know, go rob somebody's house, you might get a bucket of paint in the face. There's probably some good moral teachings in that, but does it have anything to do with Christ or celebration of Christ? No, not really. Not really. There might be some places where they allude to Christ, but it's not really about that. Another one I like is The Old Grinch. And the animated one's good, but I like the one with Jim Carrey. I think that one's funny too, and I like to watch that one. And there's probably, there is some good moral teaching in there, isn't it? His heart grew, you know. But is it about Christ? Is there any teaching of celebration of Christ in the Grinch? No, not really. Miracle on 34th Street. I think that's right, isn't it? Is it 34th Street or is it 32nd? It's around there in the 30s somewhere. There's a miracle that happened. And that's a beautiful movie. Some of the old ones. Maybe you like some of the old movies. That's a pretty story too. But it's not really the focus of Christ, is it? Think of how all these things, moral, yes. Lots more. I wonder if a lot of times that Christmas hasn't become just for society just a good reminder that we are to be a moral people. That's kind of the emphasis, isn't it? Just be moral. Just think good thoughts. Just do good unto others. Just be nice. Just be kind. But that's not the celebration of Christmas, is it? Celebration of Christmas is a celebration of Christ. And if there's no celebration of Christ, then there's no Christmas. And I think so often we get into this thought that we just need to be moral. I think a lot of churches are moving this way. It's not really about Christ anymore. It's not really about Jesus and your need for salvation through Him and Him alone, that He is the only way to heaven, that there is no other way, that without Him you do not have eternal life. But it's just about, let's be a moral people. Let's just be good. Let's just focus on good, fuzzy, wonderful thoughts, and all life will be fine. That's not why we come to church. That's not why we come. We get on our knees and we bow before Christ because He's our Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen? He's the reason for the season. You'll hear that a lot. He's our Lord and Savior. It's not about being a moral people. Yes, He does create in with us clean hearts, doesn't He? And we do seek to be followers of Christ in all that we do. We seek to be a moral people because we love God. But God comes first. Christ comes first. I tell you, don't let the world fool you that Christmas is just about being good and moral. Having good cheer. Feeling good thoughts. The world would like to move away from the religious aspects of Christmas. Move away from Christ being the center of what we do. And they've focus more on just being moral. Okay. Notice here it's also through Him would God, the God of peace, work the will of peace upon earth. This is the peace of God. Verse 6, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Remember when the angels proclaimed His coming, they said, peace on earth. Goodwill towards all men. There's a constant theme of peace, isn't it? Christmas is a celebration of God's peace coming to earth. And that peace is in Christ, isn't it? Now, you might say, well, why are we still in a world of such chaos? I tell you, there's more chaos today than I think I've seen in a long time. I would be afraid to go into some cities right now. There's not peace at all. You might catch a bullet in the head in some of these cities because there's shootings every day. There's not peace. We don't see peace. I don't think the world has ever really known a time where there has been no fighting or war between some country or some tribe somewhere. Where is the peace? Well, the promise of peace is come, hasn't it? The problem is that the world rejected Christ and it continues to reject Christ. That's why we don't see peace. It's not that we can't have it. We can have it through Christ. We can have world peace if the world would turn their hearts to Jesus, but the problem is you have a world that has rejected Christ. They did it then, they rejected Him then, and they reject Him now. In fact, they even sent out a decree to try to kill Him when He was born. We have a world that hates Jesus, hates the church, doesn't want peace, doesn't seek peace. We could receive world peace right now. The world would just turn their hearts to Jesus. But the world refuses, rejects Him. We do have an eternal peace as well, though, don't we? It's not just world peace that it's talking about in the Scriptures. Peace on earth. Listen, we might not ever see, and I don't think we will, never see a time of no war and peace upon earth. But there is an eternal peace that we can have, believers, right now, that you can receive right now. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I believe it was speaking of that peace as well. There's peace between us and God. The Bible says there's enmity between us and God because of our sin, that God hates sin and He destroys the wicked works of iniquity. There's enmity between man and God, but through Christ Jesus has God made peace between man and God. Isn't that wonderful? God has brought us peace through His Son, Christ Jesus. Notice there as well, He'll be the fulfillment of God's promise through King David as the rightful heir, verse 7, upon the throne of David, it says, and over His kingdom to order and establish it. Christmas is the celebration of promise made and promise kept. God made the promise through Abraham and on down through his line to David, that through his lineage would come the Savior of the world, that He would establish this kingdom forever and ever, and He did it exactly through Christ Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to David, to Israel, and to us, and God always keeps His promises. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. What God has promised, He has kept. Christmas is the celebration of God keeping His promise to each one of us, that He would not allow us to die in our sin, but He would save us from our sin. And He did so through sending His Savior Jesus, our Savior Jesus. Lastly, He will rule over the kingdom with judgment and justice from this time forward and forevermore. Verse 7 there, with judgment, with justice, from this time forward, forevermore. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts, it says, will perform this. Christmas is a celebration of God's rulership, His ruling over us with judgment and with justice. Think of those two words, justice and judgment. I tell you, apart from if you're not a believer, those two words are fearful. Judgment and justice, it's not anything that an unsaved world wants to hear. What do you mean? God is a God of judgment and justice. It means He's going to judge and He's going to penalize. They don't want to hear that. But I tell you what, for the believer, those are two beautiful words, aren't they? Because justice has been received through Christ, hasn't He? He paid the penalty of our sin upon the cross. That payment was paid right there. Those two words, judgment and justice, doesn't bother us none because Jesus took both of those things upon Himself upon a cross. Praise God. Praise God. That's why we celebrate Christmas. 700 years ago, Isaiah foretold exactly what we would celebrate at Christmas, and I pray those are the things that you focus on this year. Those are the things that your heart prepares for as you worship Christ this Advent. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Christmas which we have received through your Son Jesus. Lord, this Advent season, which we prepare our hearts to worship you. Lord, we praise your Son Jesus. We give you thanks for all that he does for us, all that he has accomplished for us. Lord, we pray that our hearts are fixated upon him this Christmas. And Lord, that we don't get distracted by all the secular things, Lord, that happen during this season, the things that the world tells us are more important than Jesus. But Lord, that our hearts are focused upon him and him alone. Lord, we praise his name here this morning. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. This is kind of, we hadn't sang this one a whole lot, so if we struggle through this, it's okay. But it's nice to sing some hymns, especially Christmas hymns that we may not be as familiar with. And if you are very familiar with this hymn, sing louder so the rest of us can hear you. All right, let us stand together and sing. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for the season of Advent. Lord, I pray we just prepare our hearts to worship and glorify you this Christmas and focus on you and give you all thanks and praise. Bless us, I pray, this week. Be with us. Watch over us and care for us and continue to draw our hearts close to you. We praise you, Lord. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.